Welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Go Astros! Astros advance to the World Series. Shout out to Austin FC. They got to keep the party going, too. They advance to the Conference Championship. We'll also get into the Cowboys. They find a way to win. Longhorns find a way to lose. Somebody tell them. It's a fourth quarter game. Four quarters. That's just a reminder. We'll also get to some NFL news, notes, and nuggets. Texas with a loss to my man Patrick's Raiders, actually. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later on in the show as well. We got a lot to get into, but also Sam Ehlinger, QB1. It does sound right. It sounds just about right. There you go. We'll get to that coming up as well. All of that and more. Before we do, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second-round pick for the Montreal Expos, but a first-round pick for the Austin Radio Network. He originally committed to the University of Texas, but decided to forego the 40 acres and chase his dream and the cheese. Pimping ain't easy, but for him, it's a breeze. He is Mike Hardball Hard. What's going on, my man?
We want Houston.
Well, you got them.
You got it.
You got them.
You got it.
And now you get to go home once again at the hands of the Astros.
Come
but
on
we'll
now.
Get into that in just a little bit. But since we're talking about Houston, let me tell you about my man sitting across from me. He hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a lifetime Longhorn and a proud card-carrying member of DBU. Legendary Longhorn Derek Johnson said he was the best cover corner he had ever seen. He's a former NFL DB that still has that passion for film study, and you know he broke down the film from this weekend. But he's not a fan of white condiments, but he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is my man and yours, Rod Babels.
I appreciate that intro, as always. Let's not waste any time. Let's introduce the real MVP of this thing, because it wouldn't happen without him. Glad to have him back.
Yeah,
one of the hardest working members of the ARN family. Got a hustle spirit, period. The idealionaire of the show, the Patrick Davis. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good.
Feeling better?
Feeling better.
All right, good.
Got a little recovery Saturday, you know. You start feeling better, and then you start feeling worse again. Certain people do things. But I have a number to start off the show.
Okay. Give it to me.
I'm going to give you the number 28. Do you know what 28 is?
No.
No.
28 days till Thanksgiving?
No. 28 was the amount of dollars you had to spend to go to a Yankees game last night for an ALCS game.
Wow.
Because Yankee fans gave up.
Yep.
Come on, Yankees fans.
No.
$28 for a ticket in New York?
They you didn't
know what?
Believe.
That is true. I went out, and you actually know, shout out to my man, Paul the Valet guy. You actually know Paul the Valet guy?
Yeah.
He actually told me that, too, and he said he might go up there. And I was like, yesterday, I was hanging out, going to brunch, and he was like, dude, I might go up to the Yankees game. Like $20. You get $20 seats. I was like, this is not real.
No, it's after the rain delay.
Like,
apparently, everybody just sold their tickets off because they're like, oh, we're just going to sell them. We're not going to go.
Man.
Come on, Yankees fans.
No, man. They knew. Well, I mean,
I know they knew, but
they knew.
Come on.
And it ended up being a competitive game.
It was
game
a good
too.
Game for a lot of it. Yeah.
It ended up being a good game, too.
Hey,
so.
And maybe that's your last time to see Aaron Judge in the Yankees uniform.
Strong possibility.
That could also happen. Yeah, I think the Yankees fans just, first of all, they didn't want to see another potential just, you know, loss, period. Especially at home, and they knew it was coming. But also, I think they felt there's no way the Yankees would come back and win this series.
Oh, yeah.
They
no, I
there was
but
no
you
way
win a
at
game.
All. You can win a game, but then they're like, yeah, so what's the point of winning a game? Why can't we just put us out of our misery? I think they wanted to be put out of their misery. I think they were done with it. They knew that there was no way they were going to be able to beat the Astros in
you
a
you got to show. Come on. Don't
series.
Don't act like you have the biggest fan base in the country.
They
and
do.
You're all these guys, and you can't sell out.
They do.
You can't even get all your seats filled.
Dude, they got what, 20? How many championships?
27.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. 27.
Fill up
come
that
on,
stadium.
Man.
27.
27.
And the Astros got one.
Hey.
And it's tainted.
Yeah.
So it's a little different.
In the eyes of some. In the eyes of some.
I was just saying, different motivation. But I feel you, though. It was. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I thought that was a fake story. Fake news. Not fake news at all. That was real news. So that's how bad the Astros beat the Yankees.
Yeah.
They basically beat these fans into submission.
Yeah.
Fans decided, no hope. That's
you
all.
Ain't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here.
All hope is lost.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to the Sam Ehlinger story, too, because that's one of the big stories that a lot of Longhorn fans are excited about. We'll get to that coming up in the 6 o'clock. We got Cowboys and Texans, top of the 4, top of the 6. We'll talk Astros. Go Astros! Advance to the World Series. We'll do that in the next segment at 3:30. We got your flex at 3:45. But, gentlemen, of course, the big topic of conversation the disappointing outcome in Stillwater, the Longhorns come up short once again, though, in unfathomable All right. Yeah. Almost an unfathomable, reminiscent manner of games they lost last season, where they're up double digits,
mm-hmm.
up at halftime,
mm-hmm.
up in the fourth quarter, and then they lose the game.
Loss.
I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, if you just start looking, you know, one time is considered an outlier, right? Happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two times can be considered a coincidence.
Yep.
Three times, I believe, that's when you start identifying a little bit of a pattern. Four times, that's a trend. And five times is
there's a
habitual.
Lot going on. Yeah, there's
that's
a lot going on if
that's,
it's five
that's,
times.
That's habit. That's,
yeah.
that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, look at Steve Sarkisian's losses now. He's 10-10. And in six of those losses, he's had a halftime lead.
Yes.
And in six of those losses, he's had double-digit leads.
And that's the biggest part about it right there, the double-digit leads. It's not like you're – it's not like it's a one.
Leads yeah. Not six. I think it's five fourth quarters, but either way. Like it's
– Yeah. It's about finishing. And the fact that you had opportunities on short fields in the second half.
So I take it back. Five double digits. So I take that back. I think I said six. Five.
Okay.
It's five. It's yeah. half of his losses have been with a double digit lead.
Okay.
Six of them with a fourth quarter lead. Six of them with a halftime lead, I believe. So there you go.
And
I want to make sure I get the stats right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I still sit here and I continue to say that there were some times where the field was shortened for you and you didn't close out. You had a great punt return late in the game by X-Man. You had a turnover. You had the punt that we both looked at each other and said, "Did that touch that guy?
Did it touch?" I was like, "There's no way." Because it was Brendan Presley,
yeah,
correct?
Yes,
he's a veteran. He's like a senior, isn't he?
Yes.
I said, "There's no way a guy with that much experience."
Is
ran
that close
up to that
a ball.
Football
yes.
and that got that close to ball, and then didn't even go try to recover it
right.
at all. Just decided no. So he was. Sometimes you have a brain fart.
Yeah,
he had
and
one.
And he and I figured it was bad because he kept doing the "I didn't touch it." He wasn't emphatic about "I didn't touch it."
Yeah.
And then when he got a flip, and still Texas could not take advantage of the short field.
They did not.
Those are the types of things, and that's how you realize, hey. Something's not right. Something's not clicking. And then you put up 31 points in the first half, go to halftime, and you got the lead to your point, Rob. And then all of a sudden, you only score 3 points in the second half with all the talent on this team. And I know, we could talk about the situation with Quinn, 30 incompletions. That's a lot of incompletions. But I also want to give some of this to some of the players, too. They got to make plays. There was opportunities to make some plays, and I'm not just talking about Quinn having 15 overthrows, by the way. Good gravy. There was something really not going on right at that game, but there were some drop passes. There were some passes that were in the vicinity of the receiver, and I don't know whether they ran the wrong route or didn't make the adjustments to the ball. That ball in the end zone to X-Man. That's a good play.
Was
he supposed to go to the corner,
that was a good
or
ball.
Was he supposed to run? I mean, that he looked like he tripped a little bit
X-Man,
on the way.
That was X-Man's fault.
Yeah.
If you look, just ask him as a football guy. That's X-Man's fault. That ball was on the money.
Yeah.
X-Man either misjudged it or started to trip on the turf monster for some reason.
The turf monster got a lot of people during
turf
that
monster
game.
Will get you. But no, you're right. Listen, I think we'll get to the Quinn Ewers story because I know it's a big headline. I know it's a big storyline. But you still, like I said, you're up at halftime. You're up double digits. You got a chance.
Yes.
Up in the fourth quarter, you got a chance to win that game. You just have to make adjustments. And once again, so if you're asking me, like, hey, man, Rod B, who are you going to blame for this loss? All right, I'd start with Sark, the head coach, the guy that's paid the big bucks.
Yep.
You got to make the adjustment. Your quarterback's not having a great day.
Not even close.
You have the greatest luxury in college football for a quarterback having an off day.
You got the cheat code.
You got the greatest insurance policy for a quarterback having a bad day in all of college football.
Yes.
You got two of them.
Yes.
Bijan and Rojo.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, Sark. No excuse. I know he had it was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day by Quinn Ewers. I'll admit, I was, as a black man, don't use this word very often, flabbergasted.
Don't be flabbergasted.
As to how bad it was. Yeah. Maybe it was a fingernail. that, you know,
yeah.
Can we sound, man, it's very Aggie. It's very Aggie-like, guys. I got to tell you.
Trust me.
Very Aggie-like.
Oh, my goodness.
To break out the fingernail theory out here. That, I'm glad that even Quinn Ewers are like, nah, man, I ain't got nothing to do with it. And Sark's like, they ain't got nothing to do with it.
Right.
I'm glad. Because, guys, even if it did, it's very unbecoming.
Yep.
Of a team trying to build a winning culture. Football culture.
Yep.
To complain about fingernails?
Yep.
Do you know how many toenails I lost from wearing Reebok cleats? I lost at least 3-4 toenails.
Man, I feel bad for you on those cleats. Like, them things was heavy, too.
Toenails gone.
And them things was heavy.
And they grow back.
Yeah.
They grow back. Toenails gone. I don't even went to the trainer about it. I was like, man, toenails gone. That's just where it goes. I'm not. No.
Yeah.
I'm all good.
Yep.
You know, break out that. It was the wind. Well, I thought he had the greatest arm talent.
Right.
Since.
Yes.
No, man, that's just anybody. I don't think there's ever been an arm talent.
It's the most beautiful arm I've ever seen in my life.
If he's got arm talent that great, you can't be saying it's wind. And I'm glad he shot that down, too.
Yep.
Quinn Ewers is my kind of guy.
Yeah, he took right. He owned it. He owned every bit of what happened. And he didn't make an excuse. And you sit back and you look at this game. When you have a quarterback that is struggling the way that he was. I mean, you and I were sitting there looking at this game. It's like the very first pass looked like a fastball, and he threw it behind X. And then the next one, when he threw the interception, he threw the ball. The ball jumped out of his hand, but he dropped his elbow, and he wasn't set to make that throw, and it elevated.
Yeah.
And I was just like, something's not jiving. We saw before the game that he was wearing a glove, and that was the first time anybody had ever seen him wear the glove, so we knew something was going on. But when the game is happening and you see certain things start to trend in the wrong direction, you have the greatest.
Put some Bijan on it.
Thank you.
I told you before the season started.
Exactly.
This is easy. You got an open book test every week.
Yep.
And you got all the answers to the test. The answer is, just give it to Bijan and Asada Rojo. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I don't really. And by the way, they were a dominant force.
Yeah, again.
Bijan and Rojo.
Again.
I mean, they really were. Both of those guys were extremely productive for you. So if I'm putting the loss on anybody, I got to start with Sark, because Sark should understand early on, he's a quarterback. My quarterback ain't got it.
Yeah.
He just had this situation versus Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Just had it. Now, if we are talking about the inability to execute the running game down the stretch,
that's
which we can get to
totally
X's and O's,
yep.
We can get to that too.
Yep.
Then we got another issue, though.
Yep.
Right. Then we got a bigger issue. If Sark's like, man, I don't trust that running game. You don't trust the running game with the two best the best running back combo in the country and the best running back room in the country.
The people that are making people miss in a phone booth.
That would be a problem.
Yep.
But I just saw you do it versus the best defense in the Big 12 late in the game when it mattered most. So it's hard for me to believe you couldn't have done it versus Oklahoma State. Now it's on the road. It's different. That is true. And you were one dimensional.
Yeah, well, you became – yeah, they felt like –
they did not trust – they knew Quinn Ewers didn't have
exactly.
It. They basically dared Quinn Ewers to make some of the throws. They manned up across the board. They doubled X-Man. They knew you only had eyes for X-Man. You built the entire passing game around X-Man. You didn't look at anybody else. They moved
– 17 targets towards X-Man.
They moved their corner, Muhammad, inside. Smart move. Left him one-on-one oftentimes with Jordan Whittington and said, you know what? Hey, man, that's just a crapshoot. We'll just, wherever, you know what I mean? We'll just throw it up and see where it lands with that.
Yeah.
And they depended on Sark to get tunnel vision around X-Man in the passing game. But also, once they saw Quinn Ewers didn't have it, it was easy. It was an easy game plan. Load the box, stack the box, always match Texas with numbers in the box, which we'll get to. I got a Derek Mason quote where he talks about that. And they fixed the counter issue. They got killed on the counter, and they decided they were going to fix the counter issue. Even Mike Gundy said we couldn't fix it on the sideline. He said it was so loud. And I'll give you the quote. Matter of fact, I'll give you the quote. He said it was so loud they couldn't even fix their issues on the sideline. So imagine how hard it was for Texas. Here's this quote. He says, defensively, well, we couldn't get it done quick enough on the sideline, but we could get it done at halftime. We were talking about it, but it's loud. It's just not as easy. Sometimes you can't. We really couldn't get it done, but we did get a change at halftime, got it cleaned up, and played better.
Yeah.
They really couldn't. It couldn't fix the counter because the crowd was so crazy and loud. They couldn't even communicate well enough to everybody how to fix the counter.
To their own sideline.
They couldn't. Because the sideline's closed. Exactly. It's like a college basketball environment.
It is.
And sometimes it works to their detriment.
Yeah,
actually,
exactly.
Not to their advantage.
Exactly.
And there it did, but also it worked to their advantage because there was no doubt, Harge. Yours was shook.
Yeah, definitely
shook.
And he's not used to, like you said it, it was back-to-back weeks where he didn't look sharp with the passing game. And I know somebody hit us up just a little while ago talking about his mechanics. That's something that I've been saying from the very beginning. I think sometimes when you're blessed with an arm like that and you can throw from all platforms, you get lazy. How many times did we hear that before where he was just flipping the ball? Yeah, it was cute, but I said that will come back to haunt you in a time when you need to make big plays and be able to step into throws to be that accurate. It's fun.
Right.
It looks good.
No, you're right.
But
it did come back to haunt him.
Yeah, it comes back to haunt you. That's right.
And the fingernail.
And the fingernail.
He did. He never steps into his throws.
No.
Really. I mean, I would probably say half the time he doesn't step into a throw.
Right.
He doesn't set his feet.
And he did have X-Man on a post that he overthrew him, one of the 15 overthrown balls. He had him on a post wide open, beat him.
He did.
Didn't put enough loft on it. I know he got hit, but when you have talent like that, you know exactly. Because you see there's nobody back there. All I got to do is throw it up a little bit higher and let him run under it or make it a 50-50 ball because I will put money on X-Man every time in that situation. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that we're going to peel back this onion and look at where the failures were. But there were some good things that did happen in the game, like the running game, like Bijan being able to bust open. And he should have had 28 carries again. And I love the fact of what you brought up last week to go ahead and win the game. You put it on your best players, right? You put it in their hands and said, go win me this game if you can.
Now your best player, you're also your leader.
Your best leader,
which is Rojo, and your best player, which is Bijan.
Yes.
They happen to play the same position. Makes it convenient for you.
Yes. Makes
say,
it a simple
lean
situation.
On those guys.
Yes.
Now, I do wonder, because like I said, situationally, if you're just looking at schematically, they did stuff the box. So Texas was one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Sark settled down Quinn in the Iowa State game, he wasn't able to settle him down.
Right.
He cannot sell him down. He cannot. And I think that's on Sark. Sark allowed Quinn to have way too many vertical reads downfield.
Yep.
Man, he should have made them read simple. What were his best, the longest plays he had? They were dump offs, essentially.
Yep.
The half wheel route to Bijan Robinson when the orbit return motion to X-Man.
Yep.
Easy throws for him. Give him more of those.
Yep.
He's obviously struggling.
Yep.
Why you got him reading vertically downfield when the wind is, you know, all over the place and he's got a fingernail or whatever the hell is going on? Why do you have him reading vertically downfield so much?
That was one of the things you and I were talking about before the game. We were talking about how we could set it up to run the pass to run.
I asked
behind the line of scrimmage.
And I asked Jeff Howe the same question. What did I ask him?
Yep.
How do you get this young guy in a rhythm on the road? How do you get him in the groove? How do you get him confident?
Get him the
ball.
That's
my biggest issue.
Yep.
Offensively. The biggest concern.
Yep.
I asked them both the same question. That's my biggest concern. And Sark, obviously not concerned with it. He had no plan at all for his quarterback going off the rails.
Yeah.
He went off the rails with him.
Panicking. But you always talk about it. Sometimes when they don't have that big play, what happens? He gets antsy.
He gets antsy.
And then he starts to go,
he gets play calling insecurity.
Yeah.
He gets play call or like writer's block. His play calling block.
Yep.
When he doesn't get a big play, he doesn't get it early on, he's not a confident play caller. And then all of the cheat codes disappear,
yep,
too.
Yep,
and it's like, well, what
yep,
are we doing?
Yep.
And if you're going to do that, then run the ball. But he didn't even really run the ball either. It's inexcusable, guys. Like I said, it's habitual now. This is who he is.
Yeah, it seems
who he
to
is.
Be.
He's
it
a,
seems to
he's
be.
He's a three-quarter coach.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, and I hate to say it. He's a three-quarter right now. You can always grow and become something different.
Yep.
You can evolve. You're a three-quarter coach right now.
Yeah.
You're really good for three quarters. You may be a top 10 three-quarter team. When I look at three-quarters of football, I think you can play with anybody in the country.
Yeah.
But unfortunately,
we got to play four quarters.
There's a fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We don't get to judge on the three-quarter adjustments because you didn't have any. So to me, that's, like I said, that's what I come back to. Harge, do you believe that he should have win Hudson Card?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And not for a long time. Not for the entire game. He didn't have to. He needed to let him settle down just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit about the weekend and what's going on across college football, but you saw Dabo Swinney did.
Yeah, he did. I saw
it. He made it. And then he came right back and he said, that is my quarterback. DJ's going to start. He's my starter. He's our quarterback. And Cade Klubnik was like, cool. I got in there, got the game going, did my thing, and now we're back to where we were. Even if it's just for a little bit to change up the optics so he can see it. Because there might have been some things that he wasn't noticing at times.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he can come back and say, oh, okay, we know it. We've been out there. We've been in those situations where things aren't going the way we thought they were going to go. And
of course,
now I start pressing a little bit and I start changing the things that I'm doing. It's part of football. It's part of any sport that you're playing. The game is called for adjustments. And if the adjustment is, I got to pull him out, because how many times are we going to sit here and say, you got to let him go through it. You got to do it. Look. I would agree to a certain extent, but the fact of the matter is this was a huge game, a huge opportunity for you to change the narrative of your trajectory, the story of your second half failures, and you didn't do the change. Like I said, he would have came out and maybe done two series, three series. I don't care, but change it a little bit so you can go back and adjust to everything else. Look, I remember – against Texas Tech, Vince Young did not have it that day, right? Did not have it. What did they do? They brought in Chance Mock. What did Vince do the next week? Went back as the starter. There's times that things like that help your team. And this guy has been busting his butt all week at practice, doing the things that he's supposed to do. I'm like, people are jumping to the point of, oh, this is Quinn's program. This is who the quarterback of the future of this program is. It's Quinn Ewers. We all know that. But every once in a while, you got to take a step back and understand, hey, man, I just ain't got my fastball today. Justin Verlander gets pulled out when he ain't got it. People get pulled out of the game when they don't have it, and you're trying to get W's.
Yeah.
W's. No, that's the bottom line.
I'm with you on that. I think it's a great point. I'll play, because I'll play devil's advocate, right? Mac Brown at that time, was that 04?
I think it was 04.
It was 04 when he pulled him. And trust me, I was here during the Chris Sims Applewhite year, so nobody
you knew
was
what that
being
was.
Bitched. Everybody get bitched, all right? You ain't playing well. I get it. And even with Dabo Swinney, I will say they have a lot more skins on the wall. So if,
fair,
you know what
enough.
I mean, when the fit hits the shan, they have skins on the wall where people will say, you know what, we trust in Dabo. We trust even in Mac at the time. I think Mac had more skins on the wall even at that early tenure than Sark does.
Yep.
Sorry. Sark 5-7 last year, and you on your way to being 7-5. Let's be honest with you, all right? Just be honest. So I think they had more skins on the wall. Sorry, I'll just get to it to Patrick in a second.
Yep.
I think they had more skins on the wall, and I've said it before, all coaches want to avoid a quarterback controversy, because a quarterback controversy is basically an election, right? It's an election in the locker room, and we all know contested elections lead to very volatile opinions on both sides, that kind of thing. And you don't want that in your locker room. You don't want that with your fan base at all. And that's what he's trying to avoid right now.
Which is respectful. I get that. I get that. But again, I keep trying to say, I don't think – he's in any danger of his job. I want everybody to understand that. But when you're sitting here in the narrative of your time right now at the University of Texas is what, Rod? What was the numbers you just gave us about not closing the games?
Texas football's a blue because they can't finish.
But that's the thing. This is the third different quarterback who can't play in the fourth quarter. I don't think it's the quarterback. And I get he had a bad game. I don't think it's the quarterback.
Ding, ding.
I think you put in Hudson Card, it's still a three and out because you're throwing passes Hudson Card can't make.
Winner.
That's the problem.
Somebody just hit the nail on the head.
So it's not a problem of putting Hudson. Yeah, fine, put him in. You still lose. Now Hudson looks bad too.
Yeah.
Because the play calling, you Mike Gundy went in the halftime and said, hey, this is what they're doing. Let's fix it. Sark went in halftime and went, guys, we're on the road to victory.
Right.
And walk back out with the same game plan.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, you know what? You're going to figure it out, Quinn. Hey, you know what? We'll just keep countering. They clearly can't stop it. They're not going to go into halftime and figure out how to stop the counter, will they? Oh, they did? Okay, well, now we don't really have a run game. So, Quinn, just keep throwing it. You'll figure it out.
I like how he thinks there's only one way to run the counter. I heard Bookie talking about today.
Yeah, exactly.
Like six ways to run the counter. You can add different. Ask my man Chanel. You can put different elements in cheat codes and concepts with the counter and still run the same basic play, but then add a lot of elements to it. They didn't do much of that either. They kept trying to run the same basic play.
No, you just want to go, hey, man, do the same thing we told the Cowboys. Simplify in that fourth quarter. Just go, hey, man, just get 6-yard pass, man. Look, he's nailing these 7-yard, 8-yard, 10-yard passes, but if you're making him throw the ball 30 yards,
how many
he's missing every one of them.
We run?
Let's keep every pass inside 20 yards, and I bet Quinn can lead us down the field. And we'll eat clock, and we'll get our defense some rest because our defense is getting eaten up right now. Our secondary played, what, over 100 plays of these kids?
Yeah.
Anyone, it doesn't matter what quarterback you play.
That's a great point, because Texas Tech.
Yeah.
This year?
Yeah.
Same thing?
Yeah. Hey, last year, Hudson Card had problems last year. Casey Thompson had problems. It's not one
quarterback. That's a great point.
Because like I said, listen, one time you can throw out there, that's a happenstance, that's an outlier. Twice, you go, you know what, coincidence happens. That's, those kind of crazy things happen. Three times, you start identifying a little bit of a pattern there. Four times, that's your trend.
Mm-hmm.
And five times, that's habitual, guys.
Yeah.
That's who you are. That's just... Sorry, guys, in life. That's anybody cross you five times, you probably that's who they are.
Yep. All
right? When somebody shows you who they are, believe them the first time.
You give them that many times?
Exactly. You should. I'm just telling all of that. My point is, and Patrick's right, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. We've seen multiple quarterbacks, and in different situations, it doesn't matter. And they've still been in the same situation. They've been up double digits, up at halftime, up in the fourth quarter. I don't give a damn what the situation is. You should be able to close as a coach. In most of those, and he's not.
Well,
he's not. And those, you're right. Not a lot of screens.
Not a lot of screens.
I remember all year long, I've been saying, "Hey, they're gonna put Xavier Worthy in the backfield." They did it.
Yep.
They did it. They put him in the backfield just like they do Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp, and then they ran
motion
like
him out.
They basically ran like they ran him a route in the backfield, out from the backfield, and ran him, got a first down with it. And I said, "Hey." Do it again. No, he did it one time. Do it again. Because it's an easy completion.
Yeah.
All of his best throws were, orbit return motion to Xavier Worthy. Easy. Got to scheme him open. Oh, Bijan Robinson, scheme him open. Ooh, easy dump off. Those were the best. Even the Xavier Worthy crossing route he caught.
Yep.
Right? And so I was like, throw more crossing routes, more high lows. Make it easy on him. Why is he looking downfield? It was insanity. What is the definition of insanity?
Yep. Hey, believe me, I made a shirt. Because that's what Tom Herman used to say.
I swear, it was just
3.8.
Groundhog Day, man. Like I don't
just look at the game film and see what those other teams are doing to whoop your butt every week on defense, throwing crossing routes over the middle, and be like, hey, why don't we try that? It seems to be working for every single team we're playing.
And I would
admit, your
quarterback was off, so it's tough to game plan anything when your quarterback is off. But like I said, I think you could have made life easy on him. Hard set screen game would have been great. I think you should have put, man, Jay Witt in the slot. It was pretty obvious they were going to go one-on-one. And that's why they moved Muhammad, their corner, inside.
Yep.
Great move by Derek Mason, right?
Just smart.
Strategy. Great strategy there. But, man, they didn't run a ton of RPOs where the glance route, the slant, basically they run the slant or the skinny post to the slot to Jay Witt. They didn't run a ton of those RPOs. But, man, they ran one, and it hit. It was wide open. And they were playing eight in the box, and they were trying to stuff the run. And I know you don't want to throw it on early downs. So you're going to throw it on early downs. Yo, Jay Witt on that glance was money. That would have been money because they would have went for the run action.
Yes.
They were trying to stop the run. They were telling you,
they already
not
going
to run on us in the second half. We're going to stack the box, and we're stopping the counter. So what are you going to do now? So that's why they kept throwing because they were giving him the pass. They were playing man-to-man. You had one-on-ones. But you didn't hit the one-on-ones. You kept trying to go for Xavier Worthy. He was doubled.
17 times.
What are we doing?
17 attempts.
I got it. It was.
I'm just like, come on, man. You're targeting him, and you got JT Sanders. Billingsley looked good while he was out there.
And it went late. They figured it out almost too late.
And that's when they started going across the middle.
And JT Sanders late. They figured it out late. It's like, oh, you figured it out too late.
And that last pass to JT off his hand.
That was like the best throw of the night for Quinn Ewers. That's typical to see. Best throw of the night for Quinn Ewers and one of your best players. Best
great
hands on the
hands.
Best
great
hands on the team, says Sark. Drops it off of his face mask or hands or whatever, and then they end up getting interception. That is Texas football right now in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
That's it in a nutshell.
Yep.
While they're trying to go down and try to tie the game. I swear, man, it is. Wow.
I just want to fall in love again. I want to fall in love, man.
Do you know?
My heart can't take it.
Do you know the origin of the drinking the Kool-Aid term?
I think I heard this story.
It's Jonestown, unfortunately, where a lot of people drink Kool-Aid and end up losing their lives. Very sad. That's the origin of the term, drinking the Kool-Aid. It was actually Flavor Aid, because that deplorable, disgusting mofo was too damn cheap to actually buy Kool-Aid. That's what you're drinking right now, people. It ain't Kool-Aid.
Dang.
I hate to inform you.
It's that watered-down Tang?
It's Flavor Aid.
It's that watered-down. It ain't
it's
even Tang.
Flavor. It ain't even. It ain't even a real thing. You ain't even. Now, on the front, you ain't even got the Kool-Aid mascot there.
Flavor Aid.
Flavor Aid. That's what it is. Go look it up. Go Google it.
Yeah, man.
Unfortunately. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about something better and brighter and a little bit more happy and joyous. We'll talk about the Astros. Go Astros! Advancing to the World Series. They got to play the Phillies. I'm a little concerned about this matchup. I'm a little concerned about this matchup, and I'll tell you why on the other side as an Astros fan right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
I've got dreams to remember. I've got dreams to remember.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a smooth soul Monday right here on 104.9 The Horn. Dreams for Longhorn fans. Could turn into nightmares pretty soon if they don't turn things around. Right now, 5-3, but your toughest parts of your schedule still yet to come. You were just embarking on that, and now you got the Purple Kryptonites coming up.
Yep.
One on the road, one at home, but hell, TCU so damn close. Trust me, them purple people eaters are traveling. We know we all know that. And half of y'all might be checked out by then if Texas ends up losing a couple of more games.
Yeah.
So, and then Jalen Daniels is trying to battle his way back for Kansas because he would love nothing more than to beat Texas one more time in front of a sold-out Kansas crowd. So, another team meeting? I don't know. They got a bye week, so.
They got plenty of time to hang out.
No team meeting. All right, let's get to the Astros. They are right now the antithesis of what the Longhorns are. Broke out the brooms on the Yankees.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, this is crazy. First team to ever eliminate the Yankees from the postseason four different times. And no other team. It's crazy. You start looking at all the, I don't know, the really crazy stats.
Yeah, when you dive into it, you start saying,
about this. Yeah, but there are a bunch of these. But to me, the Astros once again proved that they own the Yankees, and I don't really know how, but they do. They have it's like whatever the matchup is based on the models that both of these teams have been built around. They match up really well with the Yankees. Now we got this going back. You know what the last 11.
Yeah, they've been eliminating them for quite some time.
Yeah.
And remember, we were talking about it at the very beginning of the year. Remember Dusty Baker? Everybody was mad at Dusty because he pitched to Judge at the beginning of the year. And they ended up going, 2-2 in that series in New York. But then they come to Houston and they get beat down again. And the Astros just really understand what it's about. And the funny thing is, I don't know if y'all got a chance to see this last night after the game when Pedro Martinez said, "Hey, I got a question for you, Yankees fans.
I did see
who's
this.
Your daddy now?" The Astros are your daddy. And I know people are on the text line talking about, "Hey, don't get too excited because the Phillies are hot." Listen, that's not
they
what it's
hot.
About. But that's not what it's about. It's about the fact that the Yankees were out there yelling, "We want Houston. We want Houston." They're the ones that was out there running their mouth. "Oh, you're not going to be able to cheat now. We're going to run the table." No, you're not. You're going to be working in the offseason trying to figure out if you're going to have Aaron Judge back on your team or not.
50 strikeouts in four games.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Pitching staff. I got a little stat for you, too. Going back into the regular season, 9. So they're 9-0 in their last 9 games, obviously, throughout the postseason, undefeated. 120 strikeouts as a pitching staff.
Yes.
Patrick, in that time span. No other team in Major League Baseball history has gone undefeated with 120-plus Ks on the mound over a 9-game span, regular season or postseason. You're talking about seeing a pitching staff that's doing something unprecedented.
Yeah, it's crazy to see what this pitching staff has done. And, I mean, just to even, you know, the game on Thursday night, we said, all right, they just need to score more than 2 runs. We know Valdez, he'll probably go about 2 runs. If they can put up more than that, they put up 3. You win the game.
Yep.
They end up going back to New York, look really good. You get an error there to get you ahead. And you go into game four and you get an error. And that's just those little mistakes that the Astros have been avoiding for the most part this postseason, is those little mistakes that can rack up. And all of a sudden, you're looking at the wrong end of it again.
Yeah, and I was talking about this a little bit earlier in the season when we were talking about how their season ended, the Astros pitching staff. Christian Javier, 10-9, 277. Framber Valdez, who had 25 quality starts out of his 28 starts that he had in the regular season.
Yeah.
16-5, 257. Justin Verlander, 17-3, 1.78 ERA. Luis Garcia, 13-8. Yaquiti, who hasn't thrown a pitch in the postseason yet.
They don't need him.
13-7 with a 3.9 ERA. And oh yeah, by the way, Lance McCullers goes out last night, struggles a little bit, but they said, don't worry about you. Don't worry about it, Lance. Go as long as you can, and we'll get something popping. And of course, my man, Pena comes up there. Ooh. I literally just checked on Patrick, and we were talking. He said, man, we need to get this game going. And I said, Pena. And he texted me right there at that time. Pena.
No, you were right about it. You've been talking about him even before the season started. Told me not to be concerned as an Astros fan, that you knew it from people in the know that he was the real deal. And he has, in the postseason, it's crazy how clutch he's been.
Yeah.
I mean, you can argue he's been the best hitter in this series.
He just got MVP. He got the MVP.
All right.
And then Yordan got it in the first series. Yeah. And then he's got it in the second series. Maybe our man Altuve, who had three hits finally, might be able to get things going eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the time. And think about it. They went 10-0 in this postseason behind strong pitching, but without Jose Altuve doing anything at the plate. He did everything about doing defense. He was great on defense. But offensively, he didn't do anything, and they went 10-0 throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. I've been seeing this stat too. That's not a great stat, that the Astros are the third team in the wild card era since '95 to sweep their way to the World Series.
Yep,
other two teams lost.
Mm.
2014 KC, 2007 Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
So just saying, it's the hot team theory.
Yeah,
right. There's a team that's the best team.
Who was the last team to qualify too? By the way.
Exactly. When you got a team that's the best team, all right, you can obviously see that with the record. You can see the overall talent. You can match up personnel, whatever.
Yep.
And then you got a team that's just hot. They are rolling. They found their groove.
White hot. Bryce Harper is banging.
Dude, what is he batting? 430?
419 after last night.
Okay.
With the big time home run in the moment that they needed it. Big time. I saw post game that the owner walked up to him and he said, I think I underpaid for you. And he's getting like 330.
Yeah. He might be right, too.
I think I underpaid.
If he's going to swing his way through this damn playoffs like this, they got more than a shot. So,
and remember, they missed him for a while, too, because he got hurt. He got hit with a fastball, remember?
Yeah.
He got his finger busted up by Blake Snell.
Yeah, that was the one where he was yelling, and he went, I'm not mad at you.
I know you didn't do it on purpose.
it's out of pain and frustration.
Exactly.
I got to yell.
Yeah,
that's great.
Exactly.
There you go. It's like stubbing your toe.
Exactly.
Man, I'm cussing, but I'm not cussing at you, baby.
I'm not cussing at you.
I'm just cussing. But no, that's my concern as an Astros fan.
Yeah.
I mean, the hot team theory.
And it should be.
Even though the Astros have swept their way to the World Series, I think the hotter team is actually the Phillies.
Yeah.
They're definitely the hottest
team in baseball right now. And they only lost one game in their role to this situation. Mm. The Padres beat them the other night, but that was the only game that they lost. So there's a lot that is going into this, and I'll talk a little bit about this in my Hard Knocks Life, some of the numbers and how these two teams match up a little bit. And I know you have some stats as well, Rod, but this is going to be a fun series because both pitching staffs are tough.
Mm.
Zach Wheeler is one of the best pitchers that I loved him when he was with the Mets.
Yeah.
Because he comes straight downhill. He's got good movement on his fastballs. The bullpen situation, it seems like the Astros kind of figured that out. Ryan Pressly's looked good, and all the different pitchers that they've run out throughout these series, they've all handled their business. But the same can be said for what the Phillies are doing as well. And they got a lot of sock in their lineup, too. It's going to be a fun series. And here's another thing. That stadium, PNC Park or whatever they're calling it up there, PNCB or whatever it is, That ball flies out of that ballpark, too, by the way. Just FYI.
It's good for the Astros.
Yordan might hit one out of the stadium because you see what Schwarber's been doing for them. He's been knocking the ball all over the place as well. So this is gonna be fun, man.
I'm looking forward to it. I think a lot of Astros fans like myself are looking forward to it, Patrick, too. It's going to be really fun to watch this Astros team. Because I think they're going to see some adversity. They haven't really seen – they've seen some adversity, but they've been wildly successful overcoming every type of adversity they've seen so far in the playoffs, no matter what it is. Even with Justin Verlander having an off pitching performance and being in some of these tight performances, but they've had some clutch hitting as well. But I want to see what type of adversity Philly's going to bring for the Astros. Hot team versus the best team,
right?
Arguably in baseball.
Well, it's funny because you talk about the best team when you start looking at all the records that were out there. The 111 win Dodgers, 101 win Braves, and 101 win Mets, all gone. The only team that had over 100 wins that are still playing, go ahead, Rod, tell me who it is. Go Astros! There it is.
Damn, that's who it is. Damn, I know, man. I'm excited for the Astros. Like I said, this is exercise the demons World Series for them. This is it.
Yeah.
You want to exercise those demons, this is where you do it. And get the D.
You want
the official, the big D. I'm talking about dynasty.
There you go. We're looking for that.
The little D is dynastic.
Because if they get this win, would this be considered?
Oh yeah, you get this. You're a dynasty.
Okay. Now they're in. They're in the conversation.
Yeah, you get in the one conversation. More, then you got big D.
And I do want to. I want to make sure that we get this correct. They did lose two games. They lost one to the Padres and lost one to the Braves. So they were 9-2 in the postseason. The Phillies were.
Oh, okay.
So, not 9-1.
But still, I know that you can obviously the Astros undefeated in the postseason.
Yeah.
That's a hot team.
That's a hot team, too.
So they're hot
too.
And good. Yeah. But, man, the Phillies are hot and young and, kind of
fired up.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Man, they're enjoying themselves in Philadelphia right now.
We're just playing their best baseball. Yeah. The Astros are playing some good baseball, too, for a team
for
that's
sure.
As talented as they are. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into the flex on the other side right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9. Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a smooth soul Monday. Oh, man, Hodge is enjoying this. Yeah.
You know who that is.
Is he talking about Tears of a Clown?
So Smokey Robinson.
I mean, they do. I think he does both of those, but it's not Tears of a Clown.
What is it? What's the name of the song?
It does have tears in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. The tracks of my tears.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Smooth Soul Monday. Trying to ease and soothe the soul of tortured Longhorn fans and sports fans out there. All right. Go to FLXATX.com. Go to FLXATX in the Twitterverse. We will get to some more Longhorn football discussion, of course, later on the show. But time for our flex segment. We did have a big game over the weekend right here on these airways, as a matter of fact. You did have Lake Travis facing off against Dripping Springs. Dripping Springs pulling off. I don't know if it was an upset or not. I mean, I think it's an upset. I'm not sure. That's considered an upset. But Dripping Springs with a big win over Lake Travis.
Yep.
Which, Elston Overside, I heard that he showed out.
He did.
And that really high-level accuracy we've been telling you about, that ball placement up against a really good Lake Travis team, and that he was the difference, that connection that he had with his receivers. And that people have been a little – I would say people have underestimated the Dripping Springs defense.
Correct.
For the most part. But I think Lake Travis was able to make plays.
Yeah, they did.
Place.
Nico had a good game on the running game.
Shout out.
Leon, the quarterback, he did well. But you said it. That Dripping Springs offense, the way that they have a feel for each other, he knows exactly where to place the ball.
It's impressive.
And the one thing that Bucky, because Bucky and Mark Honing got a chance to call that game, Bucky talked about this morning. He basically said Austin Navasad was warming up like he was in a game. And that is something that is rare for young quarterbacks to go out there to warm up, but with purpose. Most guys are just out there going through the motion, getting their arm loose. He was warming up like, no, I'm getting myself ready for this game. And he was throwing bullets after bullet after bullet to get himself prepared for the defense that he was going to see from like Travis. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah. He's probably trying to get used to the speed.
Yeah. That's exactly
right.
I can
go out here and just try to warm it up, but going up against Lake Travis,
I gotta get it ready.
Yeah, I'm gonna have some pinpoint accuracy, and I think he, and obviously it worked out really well. So they get the win. Was it 38-31 over Lake Travis? So big win for them. Really tough when you got to play both of those programs back to back. I said that before. That's just that's unfair.
Yeah.
Straight up playing Westlake and Lake Travis back to back. It's rare to beat any of those schools in that point in that back to back scenario. And Dripping Springs ends up beating Lake Travis.
Yeah.
So big win for them. All right, go check out FLXATX.com. You got a lot of other information up there. Go check out FLXATX and all your social media platforms as well. You do have our Now Maxwell.
Yeah,
player.
Our now
student athlete of the week,
and he actually just happened to be playing in that game. It was Cade Curry, the student athlete of the week for Now Maxwell Family, a dealership. He was the scored two touchdowns in that game. He rushed for 180 yards, and get this. He ran it 32 times. Amazing how that happens when kids get a chance to win a game.
Well, they got a quarterback that was not off.
That goes to even show you even more. He still ran it 32 times.
That's true.
The running back ran it 32
just
times.
Saying.
Great job by him, and congratulations on being the Nile Maxwell Student Athlete of the Week.
All right, good stuff there. Go to FLXATX.com, FLXATX on all of your social media platforms. A lot of great work being done up there. All those guys, Derek Cohen, my man, Snoop, J.J. Don, Zach Lucero, all those guys working hard. Nolan Hogan, those guys working really hard over there, so go check it out. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into Dallas Cowboys beating the Lions. Dak's return. We'll get Harge's thoughts about Dak's return to the Cowboys, what he thought about the offense, the new-look offense with Dak in it. Also, Texans lose to the Raiders. That's a good thing, because they're supposed to be tanking. Still hurts a little bit, though. We'll talk about that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.